Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Finally, that's the word many are using for the latest step from Major League Baseball to elevate the Negro Leagues to Major League status. It wasn't until 1947 that the league allowed Jackie Robinson to play. And before that, the Negro Leagues flourished with some of baseball's most iconic players like Robinson and Willie Mays. Mike Pesca is Here and Now, sports analyst, and joins us to talk about this. And he hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. And Mike, why did it take so long?
Hello. Well, in 1969, there was a committee to answer the question, which other leagues should we count as official statistics? And they included leagues like the Federal League and some other leagues that, you know, some of them died out in the 1910s. But of course, at that time, Major League Baseball had only been integrated for a little over two decades. And the powers that be then simply did not regard, and this is an incorrect assumption, simply did not regard the Negro Leagues as on a par with Major League Baseball. But since then, there's been a huge movement in the stats community and among historians and just among people who love great players like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays to correct that wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to separate those dynamic players to elevate them to this level because they were so dynamic. There are no Negro League players. There are Negro League players in the Baseball Hall of Fame already, I should say. But what does it actually mean that the Negro Leagues are now equal to the major leagues?
Well, one thing is the record books. So statistics accumulated in the Negro Leagues through a period between 1920 and 1948, when there was integration and the last Negro League World Series was played, those will count in the official record books. It'll change some records slightly. For instance, Willie Mays did play a few games in the Negro Leagues, and we don't know how many hits he had, but we are sure that he had at least 17, so those will add to his totals. On the other hand, there are some great players where their feats are essentially the thing of lore and legend. So the great Josh Gibson, you know, his Hall of Fame plaque says he hit about or almost 800 home runs. We just don't know. So he's not going to jump ahead of Barry Bonds on the official chart. But when we can, and they're still doing research on this, when they can ascertain and confirm statistics, those will be added to the record books.
There are only a handful of men who played in the Negro League still alive. One of them is 96-year-old Bill Greason. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama, and he played for the Birmingham Black Barons. Greason spoke with NPR's Tom Goldman. Let's listen.
We were together. We had good attendances at the ball games, and we tried to help each other.
Greason also said that he and other Negro players knew they were good enough to play in the major leagues.
Oh, sure, sure. I did. I had what was necessary to be a good pitcher, and I had the stuff to go with it.
You know, that's really hard to hear. I mean, he had the stuff to be a major league pitcher, but he couldn't do that because of racism.
That's right. And it's not just his perception or assertion that those players were just as good. They would play in barnstorming games and to make money on the side. White players would play Negro League players, and the Negro League teams were good. They would often beat the white or the National League or American League teams. And then, of course, you had, when finally integration happened, all these great Negro League players came over, and they were some of the best players in baseball. It's not a question that they were absolutely as good. At least now we're looking at the statistics, and since baseball is a game that so values statistics and so values history, you know, it's a great thing, because maybe the next time on TV and during opening day, instead of the fact Bob Feller is the only pitcher to have a no-hitter on opening day, now it'll say Bob Feller and Leon Day, Negro League pitchers, are the only ones to have a no-hitter on opening day.
You know, the broader context of all of this is really interesting in this moment that we're in now. Just this week, Cleveland's baseball team announced it will be dropping Indians as its nickname. Native American groups have been calling on this for decades. And then the last few years, athletes have reemerged as activists. I mean, this year specifically after the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and others. There's always a long way to go, but maybe the sports world is headed in the right direction.
You know, the way I look at it, there was a time, and it was epitomized by Michael Jordan supposedly saying, he said something like this, that Republicans buy sneakers too. And the meaning was nothing about partisanship, but the idea was sports necessarily had to think about marketing and appeal to everyone and not get into activism. But, you know, that was really the exception if you look at the history of sports. And there's always been activism within sports. And when you have, because so many of our sports leagues are majority or disproportionately, let's say, African-American or minority, when you have more and more powerful people with greater voices, so they're getting paid more money fairly, and now you have social media amplifying their voices, I think it was inevitable that the sentiments of those players were going to get out there. And so just as sports is a reflection of society, we're seeing players making their feelings known. It's inevitable, and it probably is a positive thing, I would say.
Absolutely. Mike Pesca is here and now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thank you for this conversation.
You're welcome.